I believe in cultivating opposite but complementary views of life, and I believe in meeting life's challenges with contradictory strategies. I believe in reckoning with the ultimate meaninglessness of our existence, even as we fall in love with the miracle of being alive. I believe in working passionately to make our lives count while never losing sight of our insignificance. I believe in caring deeply and being beyond caring. It is by encompassing these opposites, by being involved and vulnerable, but simultaneously transcendent and detached, that our lives are graced by resilience and joy. And this week's opening quote comes from Fritz Williams. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it's nice to be back with you on air here, ladies and gentlemen. I've been away for 5 or 6 weeks. I've been off air. I've been travelling across the United States and England and Europe again. And my word, I have really done some miles in the last 5 weeks. And I've truly met some wonderful, wonderful people along the way. It's been a very interesting and very encouraging journey in many ways, folks. And it certainly brought the situation on the ground home to me a little more, as it does each year when I travel around. It's very interesting, folks. I travel to the same places generally, or many of the same places when I travel, and I get to see the change in the people each year as I go back, and it's been very encouraging to see the wave of consciousness that's spreading around the world this year as I've been on my travels. And as I said, I really have met some really wonderful people along the way. As I alluded to on the last show that I did, I stayed with many people across the United States as I was traveling through there, and it was very, very encouraging to see the underlying consciousness of the people on the ground there. And it's been the same traveling through England and Europe. I've again met some wonderful people traveling across England. There was, of course, to speak at the AV7 conference with Ian Crane and Zen Gardner and a bunch of other people. And I also spoke at the Open Mind conference in Amsterdam. And it was nice to meet many of the people there as well. And I'd actually like to send a bit of a shout out to a few people. First of all, I'd like to thank Helena, who put me up when I first arrived in England, and all the people that visited me while I was staying there: Marie McLaughlin, James Swagger, Danny, Andrew, Joe Horwood. I'd like to send a shout out to Carla and Lindsay and all the crew of the Full Circle group that I went and visited out in the Midlands. And also a special thank you to Sarah, who looked after me so well when she made her spare room available for me the night before the talk at AV7. Also to all the wonderful people that I met in Amsterdam: Vanessa Vine, Janine, the activist for Palestine, all the incredible people who came up and gave me gifts and said hello at the end of the AV7 talk, Claire, for her wonderful package of gifts and incense and all sorts of wonderful things that was in there for me. And there was Nick from the Full Circle group, and I had people give me books, and I met a whole bunch of guys in Amsterdam whose names I just can't remember because I met so many of them. There was a guy who offered to contribute some soundtrack for the upcoming film. So many people, folks. I mean, I've probably left out a lot of names. I just met so many people along the way, and it was so encouraging to meet them and so rewarding to hear the words of support and the kindness that everybody offered me. It really was a wonderful trip and a very, very encouraging journey all around. And one of the most encouraging things about it, folks, really was the random people that I met. People that weren't part of the events, weren't part of the venues, people who had no idea who I was and were not privy to any of the information that we share normally on these sorts of shows. Just random people. Checkout operators, cab drivers, random people at airports, and just people that I got into conversations with, because everywhere I would go, I would start a conversation with whoever I happened to be interacting with, whether it was a shopkeeper or a bartender or a conductor or whatever. And I just asked them a few subtle but leading questions and see what their level of consciousness was. And every single person that I spoke to was now aware that something is terribly wrong with the system, that something is terribly wrong with the government, that the war on terror is fake. Everybody is waking up to the fact that the world is being run by criminals. And it's very encouraging, folks. It really is, because these are random people. And last year, when I was speaking to these same types of individuals in these same types of situations, a lot of them were very closed off. A lot of them never took the bait when I asked them a leading question, and they go off on their typical television version of reality, and I just sort of sit there and listen to them and think, okay, well, this person is not quite awake yet, and I just sort of maybe plant a little seed and go on my way. But this year was very different. This year I found every single person that I spoke to, bar none, all of them were awake to the fact that something is terribly wrong. And that is an extremely encouraging sign. And of course, it's causing the governments to get extremely worried themselves, which is why they're ramping things up to such a ridiculous degree in an attempt to shut this awakening down. But as they do that, all they are succeeding in doing is waking more and more people up, because the uglier it gets on the ground, the more people are beginning to realize that, hey, this is really not what we employ governments to do. This is not the type of world we want, and it's not the type of world we believe we were creating, and we need to perhaps pay attention to matters of state. And that is a very good thing. I've always said this, folks, that it's got to get worse for people on the ground before they awaken. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's still got to get worse yet, because there are still many people who, even though they're awake, their back isn't quite to the wall yet, and so they're not quite prepared to stand up, because unfortunately that's what it's going to take for a lot of people. But as it gets more and more ugly on the ground, you're going to find more and more people standing in defiance of this system. And that's a very good thing, folks. And it's time we started responding to what these criminals in government are doing, because it's gotten to the point now that any response that we offer this government really, folks, is self-defense. It really is. These people are exterminating us, folks. They're wiping out the food chain. They're destroying our environment. They're polluting our groundwater. They're spraying us with toxins, putting toxins in our food, injecting us with poison vaccines. They've banned healing plants from existence. They're banning alternate medicines. They're doing everything they can to control and exterminate the human race and create the type of world that they want. And it's simply gotten to the point that the only thing that is stopping us responding to this is our failure to realize that we are under attack, and that any action we mount towards government at this point really must be seen as self-defense. Our problem is that we're just politically correct in our approach to this all the time, folks. We believe that by voting people in or voting people out or petitioning government, we're going to make a change, we're going to make a difference, but we're not. They don't care about petitions, folks. They don't care about anything that we want. They only care about what they want, and they push it in any way they want to do it. And until we stand up and call things for what they are, then nothing's going to change. You know, really the human race should get a little backbone, and rather being politically correct in what they do and what they say, just be correct in what they do and what they say. And when dealing with people such as David Cameron, for example, the correct thing to do is not to petition the man, but simply to say the man is a criminal who had sex with a dead pig in order to get the position that he's in now, which he's using to rip off and exterminate the people of England and support war crimes of other criminals such as Benjamin Netanyahu, who is in control of the rogue state of Israel, which is carrying out massive acts of genocide against the people of Palestine, and that we refuse to support this anymore. And not only do we refuse to support it, but we would like to see David Cameron taken to The Hague and held trial for the crimes he has committed, if international law or any law is to mean anything at all. And if David Cameron is not to be subject to the full extent of what law does exist, then there is no reason why anybody else should be subject to this fake law either. Because if it doesn't apply to criminals, major criminals and global criminals, worldwide criminals, genocidal maniacs such as David Cameron and Benjamin Netanyahu, then it should not apply to anybody, and therefore law does not exist on this planet. That's the correct thing to say and the correct way to look at it, because it's true, ladies and gentlemen. And we fail to respond to this situation due to being politically correct all the time and due to believing that we should not act in self-defense. But really, folks, at what point should you act? When you are being attacked, when you are being exterminated, when you are being lied to by psychopaths and criminals, at what point do you respond out of self-defense? Or should the human race simply stand still and roll over and let this ruling cabal of psychopaths exterminate them and slowly kill us without responding because we wish to remain politically correct? I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. We are under attack, and it's about time we defended ourselves against these criminals, these liars, these psychopaths who have maneuvered themselves into positions of control in all of our countries. It's time we called this entire political system of psychopaths and criminals out for what it is. And it is my belief that that would be the correct thing to do. I mean, seriously, folks, how much are we going to take from these people, really? How much are we prepared to take? How much is the human race going to stand by and just allow these things to happen the way they are? Look at the vaccination situation. It's been well proven that vaccinations cause autism. Vaccinations cause most of the problems that we're seeing in the health of our children these days. They really do. How many parents have given their child's vaccinations and had the child die or become extremely sick? And how many parents have actually been blamed for the death of those children? In Australia, we're seeing things such as swelling of the cerebral cortex, where children are exhibiting the signs of shaken baby syndrome. And it's been well established that this is actually being caused by the vaccinations, and the children are dying, and then the parents are being charged with child abuse after the vaccines have killed their children. And not only that, but the doctors and the police are well aware of this fact, but they're going after these parents and doing everything they can to cover up the corruption in the vaccine industry. And imagine for a minute just what that would feel like, folks. You know, you get your child, whom you love with all of your heart, you take this child to get them vaccinated because you care about them and you want them to be healthy. The vaccine not only makes them sick, but kills them in a terrible way by the swelling of the cortex so that the fine blood vessels in their brain start to burst inside their skull. And then not only do you have to suffer the trauma of your child's death, but you get wrongly accused of child abuse and of being a dysfunctional rogue parent who abused and killed your own child whom you love and took to get vaccinated because you cared about them. You go through all of this trauma of the loss of your child, and then you get accused and go to jail just to cover up the corruption in the medical industry and the corruption of the police force due to their unwillingness to expose their own corruption. They just fob everything off on the public as quickly as they can and as effectively as they can because we're led to believe the police and the medical system can do no wrong. These are the most upstanding pillars of society, where nothing could be further from the truth. These people are programmed fools, brainwashed drones, or corporate whores. And this is ridiculous, folks. This is doctors basically murdering children. The murder is being covered up by police, and it's all been sanctioned by the government, and not only sanctioned by government, but in many cases made mandatory by government, because it is the government which is insisting that people have these vaccinations and give these vaccinations to their children, and these vaccinations are killing people and causing a great deal of sickness and discomfort and general unhealthiness in the entire human race. It's been well established that the most healthy children are those who never receive vaccinations. And even Bill Gates has come out publicly and said they're going to use vaccinations to depopulate the world. And what do you think they're doing, folks? You know, the human race is quite literally under a full spectrum attack by the powers that believe they be, by the cacistocracy that has taken control of this world. We're being attacked via the vaccines, as I just mentioned. We're being attacked via the GM food that they feed us, by the aerial spraying that goes on in the skies, by the destruction of the water table, by the debt slavery system that we're forced to live in. We're being attacked in every single aspect of our lives, folks. Our children are being attacked through vaccines and via the education system, which is dumbing them down to the point that critical thinking is almost being eliminated. We're seeing any form of emotion at all being branded as a mental illness. Any thinking outside of the box being branded as a dissent. Anything constructive that anybody wants to do that is not government approved is being outlawed, and this is not acceptable. And the fact is that there is a war being waged, folks, and it is a war of depopulation that is being waged against the people of the world by the criminals who have taken control of our governments. And it is happening right now, and it is time for the people to respond in the ways that are most appropriate. I personally believe we can do this peacefully. We can do this via the legal system that exists, even though it's completely dysfunctional. But we still can use things like natural law. And we still can stand in defiance of criminals who are killing us, ladies and gentlemen. The most difficult part in doing so, of course, is because of the disempowered and disunited state of the human race. And so that is where the main focus needs to be, on how we can awaken and unite the people against this criminal cacistocracy. And I really believe one of the best ways we can do this, folks, is to stand up and start calling things out on the ground in our own community. Start asking the right questions and directing them to the right people and doing it as publicly as possible. Because once you start speaking the truth and asking the right questions, people do listen because it resonates with them. And asking the right questions and asking the politicians to show cause why they shouldn't be held accountable for their actions is really one of the most empowering things you can do for your community. I mean, look at what they've just done in England. They've approved fracking in North Hampshire after there's been thousands of people there protesting against it. There was actually a protest there last week, folks, where not one single supporter of fracking showed up. The entire event was dominated by the anti-fracking group, and yet the local council still went ahead and voted to approve this incredibly toxic and environmentally destructive practice in the north of England. And this is essentially an attack against the nation of England. It is an attack against the security of the nation because it is an attack against groundwater and a polluting of the environment that will take place simply in order to harvest a gas which we do not need. And you've really got to look at this, folks, because the fact that we really do not need to harvest this gas and the fact that harvesting it is an incredibly destructive process for the environment, one must really ask the question, why are they really doing it? Are they doing it to harvest a gas that we don't need, or are they doing it to pollute the groundwater and release massive amounts of methane and toxins into the environment? Because that is the byproduct of every single gas well that they create. So what is the real motive here? Because when looking at it, it would appear that the real motive is environmental destruction and depopulation, and that it has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with harvesting gas. It's like the pharmaceutical industry and the World Health Organization, folks. People think it has something to do with maintaining the human race at a certain level of health, and well, yes, it does. It's just that the level of health they're seeking to maintain us at is one where everybody is unhealthy, and thanks to the pharmaceutical industry, there's hardly a healthy person left on the planet. So again, folks, at what point does responding to all of this and speaking out against all of this cease to become dissent and become self-defense? Now, how far are we prepared to take this slow kill that we are suffering before we stand up and defend ourselves against it? That's the question that people have to ask. I mean, if you're being killed, folks, you're being killed. Does it matter if someone's doing it slowly? Oh, it's okay. He's only killing me a little bit at a time, and I'm sure he'll stop eventually, and probably when I'm dead. I mean, that's the situation that we're in, folks. At what point does responding to this system and standing up and calling these criminal politicians out for what they are become self-defense? At what point do we really begin to care about our children's future and realize that it isn't an education or getting a good job that's going to provide our children with a future? It's in reclaiming this earth back as the home of humanity and allowing it to flourish and allowing the human race to exist in their natural state of abundance, free from the control system and slavery system and depopulation agenda that is being imposed upon them by the criminals that they've employed to manage things for them responsibly. These people are not responsible, ladies and gentlemen. They're criminals, out and out warmongering criminals, pedophiles, psychopaths, sociopaths, the worst people possible for the job are the ones who are currently in control of this world because the human race has been too apathetic to do anything about it. And really, it hasn't just been apathy. It's been programming. It's been distractions. It's been all of the things that this society provides for us to keep us distracted and to keep us arguing with each other, to keep us fighting amongst each other, to keep us thinking that we can find remedy from the criminals who've created the problem, to keep us tied up in their legal red tape when it simply doesn't seem to apply to them and so therefore it shouldn't apply to anybody, and our failure to call all this out. But now's the time, because now things are getting in everybody's face and things are getting desperate. And the only question everybody needs to ask themselves is, where is your line in the sand? How long are you going to allow yourself to be pricked and prodded and poisoned and slowly killed before you stand up to protect yourself and to protect your family by doing the right thing in all that you do and being honest enough to call this criminal system out for what it is? How much are people prepared to take? At what point does speaking out become self-defense? Because in the face of any life-threatening situation, self-defense is imperative, folks. You know, if you don't stand up for yourself, then no one else is going to do it. You know, looking at situations such as what's unfolding in Australia, where the government has lost any semblance of honesty or decency or caring about its people, a country that was once free, a country full of good people who are now subject to an incredibly corrupt government and an unbelievably corrupt police force where any police officer can say anything they want about anybody and imprison them without charge or trial, where every right that the people have has been removed, where someone can receive more jail time for protesting a mine than they can for raping a woman, and where the people have virtually been removed of any legal recourse to address any of the atrocities the police and government are inflicting upon them. How long are the people going to take it? What's it going to take for the people of Australia to stand up and call this criminal system out for what it is? I mean, it's a country run by an unelected prime minister who is a Zionist and a war criminal for his continued support for the rogue state of Israel. We've got mining magnates and sociopaths such as Gina Rinehart calling for depopulation and following the suit of her father who called for sterilization of people who lived below the poverty line. Most of the valuable country, all the food-growing area of Australia, has been sold to China for mining, and the people are about to have all of their water polluted from coal seam gas mining if it hasn't gotten into the Great Artesian Basin already. The government's talking about spraying them with vaccines. It's introduced legislation whereby one has to have their child vaccinated in order to receive any government payments, and we know the vaccinations are killing people. I mean, at what point do people stand up and call this criminal system out for what it is? At what point do they name Malcolm Turdfull as the warmongering Zionist criminal scumbag and bankster's puppet that he is? At what point? At what point do we decide to say enough is enough and the human race would like to be free now and actually stand up and do something about it? At what point do we wake up to ourselves, grow a backbone, step into who we are, put down the fear, embrace the warrior spirit and stand in the integrity that we all have inside? Because we do have this, folks. Most of us do anyway. Perhaps the scumbags and psychopaths don't, but I believe most of the world has that streak of integrity inside them. It's just that it's been cowed. It's been browbeaten out of them. Their belief that they can do anything has been browbeaten out of them. Their knowledge of who and what they are and any association with the warrior spirit has been browbeaten out of them. Showing any emotion or expressing themselves in any way has been classed as a disorder, and people police themselves now to the point that they're too afraid to show anything outside the norm and a little boxed view of reality that all the rest of their peers may display. It's ridiculous. We've got to stop policing our own thoughts. We've got to stop worrying about whether we offend people by speaking the truth and just call things out, ladies and gentlemen. Stand up and make a difference. Do it in your own community and be a shining light to these people. And you can do it in a non-conspiratorial way. You don't have to talk about chemtrails. You don't have to talk about 9/11. You don't have to talk about any of that stuff. You can just point out the abuses of office that the politicians are carrying out and ask the politicians to show cause or they shouldn't be held accountable for their actions. And look, I don't think you're going to get any legal remedy from this, folks. I mean, I don't think we're going to find any legal remedy in anything we do from this system. The best hope we've got is exposing the system as the fraud that it is and exposing the legal system as the fiction that it is. And we can do that by using elements of the system against itself. You know, it's not really the right time to step outside of it yet because we don't have enough people to be able to do it in mass. You know, we can step outside of it to a certain degree, but we've got to kind of walk with one foot in reality and one foot in the fiction in order to be able to expose the fiction for those who are still locked within the matrix And doing it that way has been very effective for me, and I'm sure others will find that it's just as effective for them. And you can do it in a non-conspiratorial way, but don't take a backward step to these criminals, folks. Don't take a backward step to these politicians, because they're scum. And that is basically the way you need to look at it. You don't have to respect the word of scum. You don't have to respect the word of David Cameron, the man who had sex with the head of a dead pig in order to get his job. This beady-eyed, mealy-mouthed little turd. I mean, I just can't believe David Cameron. I can't believe he's still in office after what he did and who he is and the amount of sociopathy he has displayed to the people and the amount of lies he's told and his willingness to send arms to countries such as Saudi Arabia so they can slaughter the Yemenis, and his willingness to support the blatant attacks against children in Syria and in Gaza. This man should be taken to The Hague. He should be drawn and quartered. He is an absolute disgrace and has no right to call himself a member of the human race, because he really isn't. And it's the same for virtually every politician in the Western world, well, certainly every politician who supports this fake war on terror, this depopulation agenda, the vaccine agenda, the GMO agenda, the chemtrail agenda, and all of the other stuff that these people are doing, which I would say is 99.9% of them, folks. And I don't know about you, but they just get me mad. They really do. I get quite angry when I think about these criminals running this world. I get quite angry when I see the pictures that stream into me from places such as Gaza Strip, when I read about children suffering from the vaccinations they've been forced to endure at the hands of these criminals. It gets me mad and it gets me angry, and I think it's about time we all looked at this and stood up and simply said, enough is enough. And again, folks, at what point do we do this? At what point do we acknowledge the threat that we are facing from these criminals? And at what point does responding to the actions of these scumbags become self-defense? I know everything I have done has been in self-defense, folks. Everything I've done on this show, everything I've said, every word I've uttered has been said because it needs to be said. And I'm simply not going to sit idly by and watch my brothers and sisters be exterminated around me. Not while I have breath in my lungs and a voice in my head. And that's the thing, folks, you know, you get this knowledge and you do what you do because it just becomes necessary. And that's why I never have any time off, because the psychopaths don't ever take any time off. And it may look like I have time off. It may look like I'm having time off because I go off the air for a while. But when I do that, it's because I'm catching up on a backlog of work or I'm off doing speaking dates. So it's really not time off at all, folks. I haven't had time off in the 8 years since I started broadcasting this show. But look, I think we've reached break time now, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll return to speaking to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, I am back in the Amazon now, folks. I forgot to mention that, so do be aware that if you hear any insect noises or frogs or monkeys or whatever, that's just the way it is. But I am back in Peru. It's actually good to be back here in the warmth. I was incredibly cold while I was away. In fact, the whole time I was away, I was incredibly cold. But again, it was worth it just for the people that I met. I tell you, I met some quite interesting speakers while I was away as well, folks. So I caught up with Nick Colostrom while I was away, the man who has written Breaking the Spell, which is an incredibly good book on the Hollow Hoax, if anyone would like to investigate what really happened in World War II. He's also written a couple of new books that I haven't read yet, one on how England played a major part in the creation of two world wars, and one on the life and death of Paul McCartney, which I intend to read. And I actually like to have Nick come on the show and discuss these works with you as well at some stage, so that's something to look forward to in the future. And I would also like to have the Palestinian activist Janine on the show to discuss the action that she's taking in Palestine and why it is a good idea to support her campaign. She's one of the few people that is actually getting aid into the people on the ground in Gaza and is not using NGOs or anything like that to do it. And she's actually done things like purchase her own water truck so she can get water into the people in Gaza and get essential services into the ones who need it the most. And that's a very good thing. So I'd like to have her on the show at some stage as well. You know, the world we live in today is most certainly in a great deal of mess, but it's nothing to really get disheartened about, and it's nothing that can't be fixed. There is a huge wave of consciousness spreading around this planet, and there are people who are speaking out now and putting down the fear and making bold statements and exposing the system for what it is. and people are working on the ground to make a difference, such as Janine doing this work in Palestine. And it's happening all over. People are pushing the local councils for response. People are pushing the governments for response. People are beginning initiatives in their own community, and they're not asking for permission. They're simply doing them and putting these things in place and just moving forward the best they can in their lives and in their own local communities. And it's making a difference. People are becoming empowered. I mean, sure, there's a lot of bad stuff that our government's doing, and there's a lot of bad things that they've got coming down the pike. There's a lot of legislation that's being introduced, which is extremely ugly. But that doesn't mean we've lost hope of everything, folks. That doesn't mean we're lost the fight. It doesn't mean any of that at all. It doesn't mean that humankind is destined to go down this path of darkness that this controlling cacistocracy has laid out for us. There are other options, and we're finding them now, we're realizing them, and we're putting them into practice, and there are initiatives being started all over the world. Now, it is happening, folks. People are finding themselves. They're rediscovering themselves. They're realizing that we are all one on this planet. We are here together, and this is our home. People are realizing there's a better way. They're realizing that they've been played by the system and that there are other ways of doing things. And they're starting to take the initiative on the ground where they live. People are beginning to see that they simply don't have to take this, and they're starting to ask the right questions. They're empowering the people around them. And this is why the governments are freaking out so much. And this is why there's so much international juggling going on at the moment as well. Have you noticed how Saudi Arabia and Israel have become joined at the hip, and now the United States is posturing against Saudi Arabia in an attempt to shift blame for 9/11? Of course, you've got Saudi Arabia blaming America for 9/11, and you've got the United States blaming Saudi Arabia for 9/11. Of course, we all know that it was Israel who was actually responsible, and that it's Israel who puppeteers both of these states. But Saudi Arabia has received so much funding and weaponry from the West now that it really doesn't need the West anymore, now that it's joined at the hip with Israel, because Israel controls the West anyway. And so we've seen a huge puppet show going on here. But again, a lot of this, I think, is theatre, to attempt to distract people and get them worried about global affairs, which is all contrived and controlled. Nothing happens on the global stage that isn't puppeteered that way, folks. All the major instances are all puppeteered. Everything is done by design. But we've seen a lot of posturing in this direction lately because the wheels are falling off the entire 9/11 hoax as well. People are realizing that this wasn't staged by 19 Muslims with box cutters. It was staged by the West, and it was staged in order to bring the fake war on terror into existence. And the war on terror is a war of terror that is being waged against all the peoples of the world, not just the Arab nations. It's being waged against the Western countries of the world who are participating in the war as well, because it is a war that is being waged by the government against the people. And this is happening in every country that is participating in this fake war. It's a war for greater Israel and a war to remove the rights from the people in all Western countries and lock the world down into a police state. That's what the war of terror is all about, folks. And people are beginning to see it now. And so the governments are trying to shift blame wherever they can and stretch it out for as long as they can while they milk as much wealth from the people as they can. And even with the milking of wealth from people, folks, the psychopaths at the top don't milk the wealth from the people because they actually want the wealth. I mean, they control the wealth. They created the whole situation to begin with. They don't take the wealth because they need to get richer. They take people's wealth because by keeping people always on the poverty line or always struggling for existence or always worried about the future, it's easier to control these people. If people are worried about putting food on the table and struggling for their very existence, then they don't really have time to think about things that much. They don't really have time to think about the slavery system that they're living in, and they certainly don't have time to work out ways to extricate themselves from the system. They just don't have time to really pay attention and learn how the world is really run. And that is the purpose of constantly milking the wealth from the people. It's not really about stealing the wealth, it's about control and depopulation. So in all of this, of course, the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? What options are available to us? Well, as I've often said, I really believe one of the most valuable tools we've got is unity, is to recognize the value of ourselves and thereby recognize the value of others. But as far as the legal system goes, I think one of the greatest things we've got at our disposal is the situation in Palestine. Now, as I've mentioned so many times, it is an international war crime that is supported by tens of thousands of politicians. And if law is going to mean anything or count for anything at all, then it must apply to all. And if the situation in Palestine and international law and the illegality of war crimes is not to be recognized by the powers that be, then none of their legal system has any standing at all. And it's really up to us to identify this fact, folks. It really is. I mean, not that their legal system does have any standing. It's all fiction that they just made up anyway, but at least we can prove that point to people via the means of this issue. You know, we've got to stop playing games with these people, stop going down the pathways that they give us to put band-aids on the symptoms of the problems they create. We've got to stop pandering to criminals, because that's essentially what we're doing when we constrain ourselves within their legal system and refuse to acknowledge that it should be applied to them as well. And when they refuse to acknowledge that it should be applied to them, well, where do we go from there? When you have the people making the laws can actually be identified as blatant criminals under their own law, then how is the law they are creating valid in any way, shape, or form? And that's what we need to look at. And we've got to call it out, folks. That's really the only option we've got available to us, is to stand up and call this out. But again, we need unity in our community to do it. So we need to find that mechanism which will break down the barriers between us and our neighbours and our friends, and start uniting people to a common cause, and start rallying the people to defend themselves against the criminals in government who are very slowly but very methodically exterminating them. This is what we're attempting to do with the Full Circle Project, is to provide a mechanism whereby people can link up and form action groups in their own community. But it's imperative that people actually get involved on the ground in their own communities and start pushing this forward themselves. And now's the time for it, folks, because if you start some sort of an action in your local community, some sort of a public action, you're going to find that there's lots of members of the public who are going to rally to your cause, because everybody can see that there's a problem now and everybody's looking for a way out of this. And if you can provide some mechanism that can at least provide a platform for unity and discussion, then you're halfway there. But of course, when you do this, be careful of infiltrators, be careful of people who want you to pander to the criminals, and mount some type of an action designed to go for the head of the snake and deal with this systemic corruption. Because until we deal with that, we're never going to get anywhere. We can put band-aids on symptoms all we want, but until we deal with the root cause of the problem, it's just going to continue. And now is the time that we have to stand up and do it. And speaking of the Full Circle Project, we are going to be holding another symposium for the Full Circle Project sometime within the next month, I would say, folks, maybe within the next week or two. So keep a lookout for that one as well. But look, in dealing with this situation, folks, even if you mount an action on the ground using the Full Circle Project, again, it's not going to work until you put down the fear. Putting down the fear is the big problem. And people having a stake in the outcome. You know, so many people write to me and ask me, how do I deal with all of this information? How do I deal with knowing the things I know and seeing the way the world is unfolding and still maintaining a positive attitude? And it's because I don't have a stake in the outcome, folks. I remove all attachment to the outcome of anything that I'm involved in, of any situation I'm involved in. You know, my time on the earth here is a blink of an eye. It's a mere breath in the time that man has existed on this planet. I'm here and I'm gone in a flash. So it really makes no difference. My life makes no real difference in the overall scheme of things. I need to understand my insignificance, but I need to also understand the importance of my life. And it's the same with everybody else. You're important enough that you can make a difference, but ultimately, you are insignificant in the overall scheme of things, because there's just so many of us here. And human potential is so vast and so unimaginably complex that we cannot even hope to know what sort of future we may create, what our potential really could be. But I have no stake in the outcome of that. If the human race fails in this experiment and we destroy ourselves and wipe ourselves out of existence, it's simply the way things were meant to be, simply the way the experiment went. And if consciousness fails in this human experiment, then I'm sure there will be another one that comes after that. You know, I have no stake in the outcome of this. If mankind destroys itself, then mankind destroys itself. That's just the way it is. But what I do while I'm here is attempt to leave breadcrumbs for those who come after and attempt to change the human condition to something better than what it is, because I can see a better way that we could be doing things. But again, if we fail, we fail. But it wasn't through any fault of mine. At least I made some sort of a difference. At least I tried to point out the obvious to people. And I do it because once you know certain things, well, you can't keep quiet about them. Once you see how the Matrix works, you can't not talk about it. Once you see how the slavery system exists, you can't help but want to free yourself and free your brothers and sisters from the slavery system. So you do what needs to be done simply out of necessity for it, but not in having a stake in the outcome. You know, I don't attach negative emotion to information that people may deem negative. I don't deem the information as negative. I look at it just as being information, and I don't attach emotion to it. If something comes in that I may perceive to be negative, if it's bad stuff coming in, I simply see it as an opportunity to heal the situation. But I need the information to come in, because without that information coming in, then how would I ever receive the opportunity to heal it? That's the thing. We've got to look at all this stuff, folks. Everything is a matter of perspective, ultimately, when you look at it. It's the emotion that you attach to things, and very often it's people's failure to see the opportunities that exist in crisis, the opportunities that exist in what they may perceive to be negative information. It's not negative. What's negative is the emotion that people attach to it, and very often the disempowering feeling that they attach to it. Many people feel they can't do anything in the face of this world, in the face of all the corruption and all the things we see. They believe that they're just little people who can't make a difference. But it's not true. They can. Sure, they may be insignificant in the overall scheme of life and scheme of mankind, but here in this society, we all have worth, we all have value, and we can all make a difference. Every single change that's ever happened on this earth has come from the idea that's ultimately sparked in the mind of one single individual, and they put that into practice, and other people have gone along with it, and it's become reality. I've spoken about this in many, many shows before, but it's realizing that, folks, realizing that everything we see here, everything that's right about our society and everything that's wrong about our society, all has been created from the mind of man, and ultimately from a single spark of a single idea in a single individual. And we can all have that idea. We all have the potential to do that, and therefore we all have the potential to bring about massive change in this reality. We just have to realize what potential we have. And that comes, I believe, when you rediscover yourself, when you realize what you are and just how incredible and wondrous it is to even be here in this existence. We're going to get through this, ladies and gentlemen, we are. I have every faith in the human spirit to be able to rise to this occasion. It may get worse yet, but we are going to get through it. We are going to triumph in the end. Good will always triumph over evil. If you look at history, that has always been the case. Think about it. Every single time evil has taken control, good has always triumphed in the end. And so we will get through this. But by saying that, I don't wish to lull anyone into a false sense of complacency or cause people to believe that they do not need to act and they do not need to take the situation seriously. Because they do. We do need to take it seriously. There is definitely a sense of urgency in addressing the situations that we're facing. But it probably won't happen to any real degree until a great many more people are suffering the discomfort that this system is dishing out to them. Unfortunately, that's just the way it's always been in history as well. Very often people simply don't act until whatever is oppressing those around them has come to their back door, and then they choose to act, and sometimes it's a little late, but I don't think it's going to get too late. I do think the human race is waking up. Like I said, when traveling around America, England, and Europe, I saw an incredible amount of consciousness that I didn't see the last time I traveled. I didn't see this level of consciousness in England, and certainly not in Europe last time I traveled. But everywhere that I went on the last trip, everybody that I spoke to was awake to some level or other, far more than what similar people in similar occupations were last time I spoke to them. So it's a very good sign. But again, in saying that, I do not wish to lull anyone into a false sense of complacency or wish to detract from the very real need for people to begin mounting action in their own community. And that's something else that I wish to address on the Full Circle Symposium when we have that very soon, what sort of action people can take. And I'll be very interested if people do log on to the forums or onto the symposium when we have it and pose questions that they would like answered so we can see what sort of solutions we can help create. Because ultimately it's going to be different in every community. Every community has different idiosyncrasies. There are local issues which will affect people on the ground and which will serve to unite people on the ground that will be different in every community. So it needs to be looked at in a very, very broad spectrum. But again, folks, even in looking at this, if we're able to provide some sort of a platform and work on solutions that people need or can implement in their own community, then it's not going to work if people are not prepared to be themselves and put down their fear of being themselves. That's the thing, you know, if you don't have that confidence in yourself and that knowledge of who and what you are, it's not going to work anyway, because there's not going to be any remedy found within the parameters of the system, not unless we use loopholes to expose it. So when you mount action against the system, you've got to be going for the head of the snake. You've got to be going for the root cause of the problem. And you've got to have the confidence in yourself and the lack of fear to be able to stand in that and follow it through and not get sidetracked and not get led away from the questions that you're asking, not be given answers which are leading you down these little blind alleys. Stick to the original plan. Go for the head of the snake. Ask these people to show cause why they shouldn't be held accountable for the actions that they're carrying out and the things that they're doing. Ask them why they should not be as liable to the legal system as anybody else. And ask them how any legislation written by war criminals who support a rogue state that is carrying out war crimes and genocide can be seen as valid anyway. You know, ask these questions and empower the community into the knowledge that they can make a difference as well. And start realizing that we are under attack and that any action we mount is really being done in self-defense. And that's the way we have to look at it, folks. You know, when dissent becomes injustice, when speaking out against the government becomes injustice, then response becomes self-defense and it becomes necessary. And that's the situation that we're in. It really is. And people have to be prepared to look at this. They have to be prepared to acknowledge it and they have to be prepared to call it out for what it is and stand up and make a difference. You know, we can create change, folks, but it has to be us that creates it. We can't allow the criminals that have created this mess to come and rescue us. I mean, they're certainly not going to do that. The only people who are going to save us is ourselves, and it would be very, very easy for us to do. And it has to be us, folks. There's nobody coming to save us. There is no savior that's coming to fix things. The ETs aren't coming to fix the world. There is not some new messiah going to descend from the sky and suddenly make everything right. It's up to us to do it ourselves, and we can do it simply by changing our perspective and stepping into it. And that's all we have to do. And really, folks, in order to gain the motivation to do this, all you have to do is ask yourself, where's your line in the sand? And what sort of future do you want your children to have? Even if you don't have any children, what sort of future do you want the world to have? You know, how much are you prepared to take, and at what point are you prepared to stand up against the people who are attacking you? At what point does it become self-defense? Because that is really the situation the world is in. I mean, everything I've done on this show for the last 8 years, I've really attempted to empower people into standing up for themselves, rediscovering themselves so they can stand up for themselves, and to do it in a peaceful way. You know, I really think, and I still think, we can change the world in a peaceful way. We still can do it. It may get to the point where we have to defend ourselves against certain psychopaths who simply won't back down, and I anticipate that as being a reality, but overall I think it can be a peaceful transition. It may get a little bit difficult for us for a while. We may have to go without a few things that we're used to, like television and some of the stuff like that, even electricity. I mean, frankly, I don't care, folks. I don't care what we have to go without in this modern society. I don't care how much of the trappings of this modern society we lose. I just prefer to get back to a point where we can live in our natural state of abundance and where we can live in peace. I mean, sure, technology is great, and it'd be excellent to keep all the technology. I'd love to have the technology that we've got now and to be able to transition into a peaceful future, to be able to merge this technology and all the knowledge that we've gathered in the last 200 years, to be able to merge this with our old traditional shamanistic ways, with our old cultures and our old understandings and knowledge of the world, and be able to look at things completely transparently with an open mind and look at all possibilities of what this reality is and what this existence is, about what our little spot in the universe means, where we actually are. I mean, who knows, folks? This reality could be anything at all. We have no idea. We can speculate on things, we can adopt belief systems all we want, but until we're in a position of freedom, then we're just not going to know. And I think that this time in history is an incredible opportunity for that. I think that this is a time where we have an opportunity for freedom, I really do. I think that the world is laid out bare before us. The control system is laid out bare before us. The world is made smaller now through the internet, through international travel, through the connection that people have and the instantaneous communication that people have. We're in a position where we could really make a difference and really change things if we could simply step into ourselves to do it and put down this fear. This whole fear programming, this whole victim programming, the concept that we're just little people who can't make a difference, all of this stuff is just programs, folks. It's all stuff that's been instilled to us by the control system just to prevent us from standing up and prevent us from ever making any real change. Because we're always looking to the nanny state that created the problem to supply remedy for us. And even when we look at response to the system, someone comes along and creates an initiative or whatever, like the Full Circle Project, and people want someone to lead them to safety, someone to provide them with a battle plan, someone to give them a piece of paper they can sign, which is suddenly going to establish their freedom or something like that. But it's not going to happen. No one's going to lead anyone to safety until people are prepared to lead themselves. And then they'll find that they don't need leaders at all. And that's something I've attempted to do on the show, folks, is create leaders. I can't lead you. You can lead you. The only person I can lead is me, and I wouldn't expect anyone to follow me. I don't want to lead you. I want you to walk by my side in this walk to freedom that the human race is about to mount, a walk to freedom that we are all undertaking right now. That's what this time in history is, folks. It's the time when we discovered ourselves and when we seized the opportunity to actually become free for the first time that we can remember, for the first time in any type of history that I can find. We actually have an opportunity for that now. We actually have an opportunity for freedom. And it's time for mankind to stand up and seize this opportunity with both hands. Of course, we do have a choice, though, folks. If we don't want freedom, we can always choose slavery, because that is what the powers that believe they be have in mind. But I don't think that's the way we're going to go. I really don't. But again, it is a choice. It is a choice that we have to make, and it's a choice that's available to us right now. Personally, I think mankind is going to step up to the plate. Personally, I believe that we are going to come through this with flying colors. We're going to look back on this time, and we're going to wonder why it ever took us so long to wake up to ourselves. Really, I think that is the plan for the future, and I think we're seeing it unfold in the world today. And as I said, I've been very, very encouraged by my conversations with people as I've been traveling, and I think it's going to lead to far greater things next year. I think that by this time next year, we're going to see some real difference being made, because by this time next year, we're going to see that people have had enough, and they're going to be standing up to this system perhaps a lot more than they are now. I think that's the way we're going, folks. I don't think people are going to take it much more. And I believe the human race will rise to this occasion and shake off this change. But look, I think we are at the end of the show here, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to have to leave it here for now. Thank you very much for spending this time with me today. It is really a great pleasure to be back on the air and to have the ability to talk to you. And thank you to all the regular listeners who've been with me for so long and who've supported the show over the years. Thank you to everybody who signed up to the Patreon account, who's now providing a little bit of subscription for the show and for thecrowhouse.com. That really has been a godsend, and thank you so much to anybody who has signed up and is helping me. And if you would like to help, or you would like to subscribe to thecrowhouse.com, folks, I mean, you get everything for free anyway. It's just to help if you want to, but you can subscribe for as little as a dollar a month, and that will help to keep the Crow House going and keep this show on air. But thank you to anybody who has signed up, and Thank you for your continued support. I really cannot thank you enough. I'll be back on the air regularly now. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. I'm going to be spending the time here in Peru working on two new films. One is going to be part two of Transformation, and the second film is the film that I've been working on for so long about the Amazon, which is entitled Earth Song. And I hope to have both of those films out, one hopefully by the end of this year and one by the end of next year. But that is it for me now, folks, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache, my friends. In La Cache.